If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on Earth.
All things safe. Representative Jason Sane.
Good morning. You're listening to All Things Sane here on WSIC. I am your host, Representative Jason Sane. I represent Lincoln County, serve in the legislature, do this show every week. If you're just hearing us for the first time, love to have you listen. We do it from 11 to 12 every Wednesday, but then you can also catch us on the podcast. You can find it on Apple, Spotify, YouTube. We broadcast live. We do it over all the other entities, if you will, X and various sundries of social media. And then, of course, you can always go back if you don't catch the show on Wednesdays live. But we do it live almost every week. We have recorded one or two here in the hopper, but nevertheless, we try to do it live to keep fresh and up to date with everything that's going on. Last week, I was out. It was spring break for our son. He's 15, and we only have a few of those left, as we might imagine, as he starts to look at what he's going to do post high school. So we try to take advantage of it. So my wife and I and he went down to North Myrtle Beach and just hung out with some friends, also some constituents and some colleagues even. There was a lot of folks from the area that were down there for spring break. I got to watch the NC State Duke game at a little pub and celebrate NC State's win over Duke for Duke fans. I'm sorry. It didn't work out your way, but hey, didn't work out our way either for NC State when it came to that semifinal game, unfortunately. But it was fun just to be with a lot of friends and have a good time. We got a great show for you today. As always, really tan, rested and ready to be back. The beach was a little chilly. Got some sun and did get toes in the water. Water's still a little cold in April at Myrtle Beach, but did a fabulous boat ride on Saturday while we were there. But gives you time to kind of clear the mind and get ready and spend some time with friends and family. Always fun. Today on our show, we've got a young man, Youth in Love, who is running for the College Republican. The North Carolina Federation of College Republicans. Chairman for the state, and I want to welcome him to the show. Youthen, welcome.
Thank you, Jason. It's a pleasure to be on with you this morning.
Well, glad to have you on, and I'll tell him a little bit about you, and then you can tell the rest. But Youthen is a college student at Belmont Abbey, and are you serving as the second vice chairman of the College Republicans now, or is it executive director?
Yes, sir. The executive vice chairman.
Executive Vice Chairman. So you're already in leadership, and now you're a junior. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So you're getting close to the end of your, or at least the first part of your college career. I never assume college can go on forever. I still take college courses every now and then. but so what do you study at Belmont Abbey?
So a political science major, and then double minoring in marketing and pre-law.
Very good. Very good. So do you want to go on and get your law degree or just part of the curriculum?
I'm actually thinking about going to law school. I need to actually be studying for the LSAT and look at taking that just to see where my score falls and then make the judgment from there whether I want to move forward with going to law school or wherever God leads me to go next.
Sure. Well, you know, good luck. And certainly we always want to wish young people who have a vision of where they want to end up and how you get there. That's only one person knows for sure. And life's an adventure, but you're involved in something that's near and dear to my heart. When I first got involved in campaigns and politics, I started as a college Republican. We didn't have a young Republican organization locally when I started and was at NC State and joined their college Republicans there, and then transferred to UNC Charlotte. When transferred schools helped start or restart probably, because there was probably a club before us, but none that we knew of at UNC Charlotte, the college Republican chapter. And Belmont Abbey has had a chapter for quite some time. I'm sure it kind of ebbs and flows with activism and presidential election years and involvement and engagement. But you've got a club there at Belmont Abbey, and from the pictures I looked at, it looked like you've got a pretty active club there.
Yeah, we're doing pretty good. We usually have about 10 members that consistently come to meetings. Unfortunately, well, fortunately, Congressman McHenry started the chapter here when he was a student at Belmont Abbey. Unfortunately, the chapter kind of dissolved over some time and went away. Freshman year, I come in, I knew that this was something I was passionate about and wanted to get going again. I think it's important that we have that space where students can come, be involved, and talk with like-minded people.
Well, it is important, and it's a fun part of the college experience. If you've got a young person that is either entering college or maybe there, but not active in politics, or is thinking about being active in politics, or just really just inclined to know more about what's happened around the world around them, College Republican is certainly a great vehicle. Youth, and you bring up a funny little tidbit of history there. I met Congressman McHenry at a College Republican convention. We were on the other side of each other on a gubernatorial race. I was working for Mayor Richard Venroot of Charlotte, who was running for governor. This is 1996, so ancient history. Might even be before you were born, probably, right? What year were you born?
It was. I was born in 2002.
So that dates me a lot, but and Congressman McHenry. But we were both pretty active and pretty bullheaded. He was working for Robin Hayes, who later became a congressman. At that time, was a state house member, just like me now. And he was running for governor. And the two were the kind of the front runners in that gubernatorial race and going at it. And we had a very contentious College Republican convention. I remember we ran folks for office from UNC Charlotte Davidson and I can't remember who the other club was. It's Campbell. Kind of had a real tight knit group together, and then and UNC Chapel Hill also. But we were pretty well divided in that gubernatorial race. So it was a contentious convention. Everybody fighting for their candidate. And I think when Patrick and I first met each other, we wanted to strangle each other. But because of that first dust up. We got to know each other and respect each other and become really good friends because of that. And really, that's a lot of what the college experience is about, being able to express yourself, learn new ideas, hear from different points of view, and make good friends along the process. So you're doing that, but you're getting ready to take on a pretty big role as a chairman, God willing, and everything goes your way on, if I'm right, it's this Saturday that you hold your convention, correct?
Yes, sir. That is correct. We'll have our convention this coming Saturday, April 13th at GOP headquarters in Raleigh. So if there's any college students out there listening this morning to Jason's show, please go to our College Republican Instagram, click on the link and register for the convention. We'd love to see you there.
It's a lot of fun, I promise you. So where are you holding it at? You're holding it at the headquarters, at the Republican headquarters on Hillsborough Street?
Yes, sir, it is. And we've got Mark Robinson coming by as a special guest this year.
Well, that's awesome. I think one of the first things that I remember is the national candidates, the statewide candidates that I got to meet and office holders that I got to meet while serving in the College Republicans. That's an awesome opportunity. So if you are someone who wants to get involved, don't be shy. Show up, register. I guarantee you'll make friends quickly. We always did. Hopefully, we won't have as contentious a convention as we had. It doesn't sound like you're going to. I don't think you have opposition, right?
As of now, no, I don't. So technically, the only way that someone could run against me is if they nominated someone at the convention.
Well, I can tell you what, that is the best way to run, I promise you. You're listening to All Things Saved here on WSIC. We'll be back in just a moment. I always appreciate you listening.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with more All Things Sane, hosted by NC Representative Jason Sane on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth.
All Things Sane. Representative Jason Sane.
We've got fun and games. We got everything you want, honey. We know the names. We are the people that can find whatever you may need.
Welcome back to All Things Sane here on WSIC. You're listening to the show that gives you everything about local politics, state politics, and occasionally we even dabble a little bit in national politics. I am your host, State Representative Jason Sane. We love doing this every Wednesday from 11 to 12. Glad that you're listening. We went up against the hard break there, but we have Youth in Love, who is a Belmont Abbey college student, and he is running for the North Carolina Federation of College Republicans chairmanship, and that will happen on Saturday. We were talking about how that convention will start up there. If you're a college student and you're listening and want to be involved and engaged, maybe hear from the Republican gubernatorial candidate, Mark Robinson. He's going to be speaking to the group. Who else do you have coming up? Do you have any other folks coming in? I know you'll have plenty of work to do at the convention. There's a lot of times resolutions and also time for students to students, college, I guess, delegates to the convention, better way to address them, delegates to the convention to work on getting their game plan together for the upcoming election. So what else will be happening on Saturday?
Yeah, so delegates, participants of the convention will be able to hear from other various speakers. We have the state GOP chairman, Jason Simmons. He's going to be coming by to speak with us all. Representative White from the state legislature, she's going to be joining us that evening. So it'll be a great time for college students to come together, learn about state and local politics. You know, this year we're fortunate enough to have the presidential year, so you're going to have the opportunity to learn some about national politics as well. Come together, have some really good food. This year we're actually having barbecue for our meal. So it'll be a great opportunity and a good time for everyone, I hope.
Well, it's a great time to get started on a political diet. Unfortunately, I've had way too much barbecue. So as you can tell, it does catch up with you. But if you're young enough, your metabolism's fine. So you'll be able to enjoy the delicious barbecue. Who's serving the barbecue?
So actually, the current chairman, Cody Miller, his parents actually have a barbecue grill, and they're coming to cook it for us all.
Oh, that's awesome. That'll be a great time. Well, you know, hearing from some of our state leaders that you'll be hearing from, and particularly our lieutenant governor, who's currently the lieutenant governor, running for governor. You know, I remember days back when we did it in school. Sound like an old man, as my 15-year-old tells me, Dad, when you wear your readers and you sit in your chair, it's like asking, you know, the old guy that served in the war how the war went. But you know, we have a lot of fond memories. That's where I met my wife. Catherine, she was involved in College Republicans at UNC Charlotte, as was I. Congressman Richard Hudson, another former member of the College Republicans, good friend. That's where we all, the three of us, really became great friends. I told you about Patrick McHenry, but a lot of folks who just think they're, you know, just showing up and going to do something fun on a Saturday end up having long careers in politics just by being exposed to College Republicans. So I don't want our audience to miss what an opportunity that is for young people that they get to do that. Have you met other famous people while working in College Republicans?
I've met quite a few people, actually. Matt Whitaker, he was at our Gaston County Lincoln Day dinner this year. He was the keynote speaker, so that was really cool. I've met Senator Tom Cotton, several other major players within the GOP. But to echo what you said, Representative, it's a great opportunity to connect with people and build lifetime friendships, as well as like getting out of your comfort zone. I encourage that amongst any college student. Even if you don't want to particularly pursue the College Republicans, look at getting involved with Leadership Institute or ISI, which is Intercollegiate Studies Institute. All of these are conservative-leaning think tanks and organizations that can help you connect with people around the country.
Well, it does, and it can parlay into something for you later on in life too. All those connections can matter. You know, I mentioned that we had two gubernatorial campaigns going on at that moment. I was still involved with College Republicans because I was still technically in college, though was in graduate school at the time. But I went on to work for Mayor Venroot, and then later when Robin Hayes won, Robin knew I knew a lot of folks in the western part of the state and hired me to be his western coordinator. So I got to work for both guys and think the world of both of them. Both, you know, have incredible special qualities that have always meant something to me. But because of that, I mean, you know, my what they used to call a Rolodex, but your contacts in your phone is pretty exponential. So I imagine you get to do a lot of that too, as you start to really network, and it can pay off for you later when you start looking for that all important job.
Definitely. I highly agree with you there. So like when we take our trips to DC with Bowen Abbey, our politics department goes every semester. There's quite a few people who always call me the business card kid because I have a habit of collecting people that we're meeting in DC or on the Hill's business cards and then connecting with them once we get back, thanking them for their time. And I think that's something that's really important and something that I would encourage amongst anyone. Build these connections with people because you never know how far down the road you could be. Look back, contact this person to help you with something.
Well, it does. I mean, you never know who you might meet that it's going to matter, well into the future, or someone you may be able to help, right? And that's really what it's all about. As much as it is the politics, it is. My dad had always said about me being involved in college that it was probably one of the best things about college that I learned, aside from what I was learning in the classroom. Under the tutelage of really great professors, but to really be able to put politics into motion, you're studying politics as part of your studies. But it's really the practical application of how things work. So I'm glad that you're getting to experience that.
I think another big part of it is, giving back to people, working with people, helping them. We get in these positions. It doesn't necessarily have to be always drama or something. You could always help someone, build a bridge with someone.
Well, you make an excellent point. That's very, very wise for you to say. I always tell people at the legislature, 90% of what we do is bipartisan. We're pretty much in agreement. I mean, even when you would think that what looks to be in the newspaper, the far left and the far right, and then somewhere in the big middle, almost agree 90% of the time on most issues. And you make friendships that way. You connect with people. Some of my best friends at the legislature are people that vote exactly opposite of the way I do on some legislation, particularly when it really does get in kind of the partisan arena. But nevertheless, you're able to form friendships. And look, it's okay if people have differences, even within your own party. Like I told you, Patrick and I became really great friends, and we met on opposite sides of a campaign, which is interesting, and we kind of laugh about it now. But you get to form those friendships, and that's something that you can't replace. And I feel sorry for some of those folks that don't stick themselves out there when they're in college and go do those things. So kudos to you. And your club, like I say, I could see that there's activism going on there. Are there other clubs that are really active across the state? Where are the hot pockets of activism?
So this year, the past year of serving as executive vice chair, some of the major chapters I'm really happy with and proud of for the dedication and hard work that they put in would definitely, my top two would probably be UNC Chapel Hill. They've hosted great events such as having Candace Owens, former Vice President Mike Pence, on campus this year. As well as High Point University, they did a candidate forum for that congressional district, had all the local offices, municipal elections, and everyone there. I actually traveled up there for that event, and it was a great turnout. Highly recommend it. So those are probably the two chapters that I would say I'm definitely very happy with this year. Not to say the least that others haven't done great things, because we're all partaking in this year. It's a big election year, and we're all doing wonderful things to contribute to it.
Yeah, no, it's great to point out the highlights, but and we had the same thing. We had large clubs. We had a very large club at UNC Charlotte, but then some of the small clubs that, and I'm talking 5 and 6 kids at some of these campuses, because they were smaller campuses, had fewer people to choose from, but they were very active too, and so it really wasn't necessarily about how big your chapter was. It was just what's the activism look like? What are you doing? How are you getting the message out? And how can you be a service to the candidates? It is really a pretty unique experience. You get to dabble in issues too. I know this is just a little up the road a piece on 85 for me, but UNC Charlotte over the last couple of weeks, the student government there jumped into the Gaza Strip war there, between the Israelis and terrorist organization, and there was a resolution that came out of the student government unanimously, which was shocking. Asking for this, or demanding essentially, which I always find funny in a resolution, you're demanding that they get out of Israel. They're doing a historic archaeological dig there that UNC Charlotte is in a very unique position to be the only American school that's able to do that in Israel. And a group of far left activists wanted the university to pull out of there. Now that got shut down because the resolution essentially died from a pocket veto. The president of the Student Government Association just didn't sign it. But activism abounds. When you talk about Chapel Hill, I imagine they've got a lot to be active about because they certainly got opposition there. Belmont Abbey's not quite as a hotbed of activism, but I'm sure you've got students there that are not exactly in agreement with the College Republicans.
Yeah, definitely. With Belmont Abbey being a Catholic school, we have a very pro-life campus. Not to say the least, we do have students that disagree with us and some of the things that we say. I always encourage students, I'm willing to sit down with you at lunch. Chick-fil-A is right down the street. I love Chick-fil-A. I will sit down with you at lunch. We can discuss this. Why do you think the way you do? Why do I think the way I do? It doesn't have to always be a constant screaming match back and forth. I think
it does.
You can build a bridge. You can make a friendship out of that conversation. And you just keep the politics out of that conversation in the future. But don't let the politics in the current moment destroy what could be something great.
Well said, sir. We'll be back right after this break. You're listening to All Things Sane on WSIC.
Keep it right here. All Things Sane with NC Representative Jason Sane will return after this short break on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. All Things Sane continues. Here's your host, North Carolina Representative Jason Sane on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC.
If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth.
All Things Sane with Representative Jason Sane.
And welcome back to All Things Sane. I'm your host, State Representative Jason Sane. Great to have you listening today. We've got Youth in Love, who is a college student from Belmont Abbey. He is running for the North Carolina Federation of College Republicans chairmanship. That they will hold their convention this Saturday at the Republican Party headquarters in Raleigh. If you're a college student or know a college student that wants to get involved or engaged, you can find the College Republicans on Instagram. You can register for their convention. I guess you can find them everywhere on the web, but Instagram is what we were talking about earlier. And register for that and come be a part of it. And we've got Youthen on with us today via video and audio. If you're just listening, you can hear him, but you can also see him. Youthen, we were talking during the break about engagement with the opposition. Colleges, I always say, it's, I think, something to be celebrated as far as what should be an exchange of ideas. It seems like on some of our more liberal campuses like Harvard and Yale these days, that they forget about the exchange. They just want to have one viewpoint. But you were talking about you were at a forum at Gardner Webb. What happened there?
Yeah, so I had the great opportunity to go and sit on a forum. They were hosting it right on campus at Gardner Webb here. So right beside me, to my left, I had State Senator Ted Alexander. College Republican Chairman Cody Miller was also there. We also had a set of Democrats on this panel as well. One particular thing that I got from this forum and being a participant in it was that there was one student that mentioned Republicans tended not to extend the arm out and build bridges, hear their conversation and hear their side of it. One thing that I think was a very smart move that I made that night was I walked off of stage and I gave the student one of my business cards and shook his hand. I assured this student I would be someone that would sit down with him for coffee or lunch and hear his side of the story. Why do you feel the way that you feel about these issues? Why do I think the way I think? And why do you think the way that you think? I think this is something that I would encourage elected officials, Democrat and Republican, across North Carolina and in this country. You need to be doing these things. This is how we're going to get things accomplished in this world, is working together. We can't keep dividing.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, and I think that was an absolutely smart move, and it reminds me so much of the way what we used to do and what I do here at the Legislative Building. Behind me is my hero on the wall here, Ronald Reagan.
I like that.
He and Tip O'Neill, who was the Democrat Speaker of the House from Massachusetts, talked often. And I think they would say, and they have said, they had a friendship, even though they were politically opposed on so many things. But they did talk, and they did respect each other. And I think oftentimes In today's current context, we've lost a little of that. Now, I'm no fool. It's politics, and it is hand-to-hand combat sometimes. And the whole point in getting engaged and involved is so that your side wins. But also taking into account where the other person is coming from and trying to find some compromise. There's nothing wrong with that. And too often I think we shy away from that as if there's a purity test. I can be friends with somebody. I can disagree with them in a very agreeable manner. So that we don't walk away mad. We just agree that we're going to disagree. So I applaud you for doing that. It will serve you well.
Well, thank you.
Well, you get to look at issues and, how about your professors? Are your professors, right leaning, left leaning, middle of the road? You still don't know yet after sitting their classes. How what's it like on campus these days?
So far, most of the professors that I've had are right leaning. This semester, all the professors I have are right leaning. Even the ones that I've had that are more moderate left of center have been very understanding of where I stand on issues. They're very outgoing and they're willing to help me academically, or if I need something extracurricular outside of class, they're always there and have my back. But overall, yes, most of the ones I have this semester are right leaning. I have retired Superior Court Judge Richard Boner as one of my professors. I have retired ADA from Mecklenburg County Stephen Ward as a professor.
Well, and, you know, having folks who can just be fair really matters as well. One of my favorite professors politically is probably about as far left as I am right. And he's retired now, lives in Philadelphia, still a good friend. We keep it up with each other on Facebook and every now and then send a jab here or there and an instant message. Where he'll ask me, questions about what's happening here at the legislature, just from a pure fact that, we respect each other. And he's gotten to know one of my colleagues, a good friend, Republican, that's in the state house there in Pennsylvania. So if done right, you can have, varying degrees of political opinions and still learn from that person, which I think is the best part of the process. So, we hear too often that's not happening. You're attesting that it is happening, that folks are still pretty open-minded and allow people to express themselves. And I think that's very encouraging.
I definitely think one thing that you just said that I'll echo is the word respect. If we include that and a lot of things that we do, it's going to take a lot of arguments out of everything. If we can just sit down and hear each other out, I think that would be a big part of Democrats and Republicans' agenda this election cycle.
Well, you're younger on involved young from a younger point of view, but there's a lot of wisdom in what you've said and what you demonstrate, and I think that's to your credit. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things going on in North Carolina. The North Carolina Democrats, though, just were forced to pay the Green Party for frivolous intervention. This is something that's unlike anything that we've seen, I think, in at least recent political history. The Democratic Party has been ordered to pay the North Carolina Green Party's legal fees due to frivolous and unreasonable intervention in the third party's battle for ballot access in 2022. U.S. District Judge James Devert III, a George W. Bush appointed judge, ordered the North Carolina Democratic Party and the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee to pay $6,520 for attorney fees assumed by the Green Party of North Carolina. The Green Party originally requested $59,000 in legal fees from the interveners. An interesting development, I guess, that's happened over the last couple of weeks. You and I were talking about it offline. I guess if you've got competition, if you can just keep them off the ballot, then you don't have to worry about it. We've seen this play out nationally, haven't we?
We have, and I think we're still seeing that play out to this day, unfortunately. You know, Democrats get their hands on something and they want to destroy it and break it down as far as they can for their own self-advantage and self-growth. This is America, land of the free, home of the brave, and you shouldn't be allowed to do that, let alone you're sitting here trying to take a party off of a ballot just to end your competition. It's ungraceful.
Well, it is, and it is, some of the reasons that we've tried to, try to make the Board of Elections more fair in North Carolina. Of course, the minute we try to change anything that has been set up previously by decades and decades of Democratic control, they scream that we're being unfair. They would know what unfair looks like, of course, as we see in their actions. But getting your opposition off the ballot and not allowing them to have ballot access is pretty serious. The Green Party had more than 2,000 signatures over what the required threshold was, so they had plenty of room and to give. They were trying to say that a lot of these signatories were fraudulent. Of course, it's after the fact that you get the ruling, which means that the senatorial race that was in question's come and gone, and the Green Party never could get steam there. I'm not sure that they would. Not sure that they would be any type of competition, but the real fear was from Democrats is that the Green Party would take votes away from them. But if you keep them from getting on the ballot, problem solved.
Correct. And I think one of the big things here in this whole case is that we have the evidence. We have phone record recordings of the conversations where Democrats are calling the people that signed the petition for the Green Party, asking them to remove their name from that petition. For instance, the person called and said, "We'll take away votes from Democrats, giving Republicans a huge advantage." And then the respondent responded, "So if you're with the Green Party, why are you asking me to remove it?" The Democrat hangs up the phone. Like many things these days, the Democrats can't explain their actions. They just go with the flow and think that no one's going to notice it and it's going to be whoop-de-doo.
Well, it is at its best. I'm never shocked when, people in politics play politics, but it is, I think one of our bad examples, certainly not the way that we want to see it happen, for folks that look, Republicans have contended for years with libertarians, and I myself call myself a libertarian with a little L, not a big L. Of course, that probably offends someone who's an actual libertarian, but, nevertheless, this is part of the public debate. This is part of trying to air out differences and figure out where people are at. I think in the Green Party, they're probably a little more left than most of the centrist Democrats, if there are centrist Democrats anymore. There's still a few. I get to work with a few, but they're getting fewer and far between. But, you're on campus, so having that debate on campus or across multiple campuses really is at the heart of what makes this country great, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think any kind of debate you can encourage amongst college students in this country is great. They need to be aware of the issues and educate themselves versus just voting for this person because someone told me to. You need to educate yourself. You need to look into this person. Why do they feel this way about the issues? Why are they even running for office? Do they have a criminal record? These are all things and factors that need to be considered.
Well, there are things that need to be considered, and all too often we find out things like criminal records after people have filed for office, and you kind of scratch your head and wonder why they thought that the people wouldn't find that out. But nevertheless, look, that's not something we'll solve today. But we're talking with Youth and Love. He's running for the North Carolina Federation of College Republicans for the chairmanship. He is going to be up for office on Saturday. We'll be back for the last segment of our show right after this break here on WSIC.
More of All Things Sane with NC Representative Jason Sane is coming up on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. It's All Things Sane with North Carolina Representative Jason Sane on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
Hey, I just met you.
And welcome back to All Things Sane. I'm your host, State Representative Jason Sane. We're talking with Youth and Love. He is a college student from Belmont Abbey. He is running for the chairmanship of the North Carolina Federation of College Republicans. And he's up for a vote on Saturday. Right now, no opposition. Youth, and I can tell you that's the best way to run. I'm currently doing that myself this election cycle. I prefer it, but nothing's a sure thing. As they say, not until the, incredibly calorically challenged lady starts to sing at the end. I said that politically correct, right? I could say that on a college campus, right? I mean, I was kind. I myself am calorically challenged. I'll own that. But also can't sing. So she's got one up on me. But so you've got that happening on Saturday. You guys and girls are going to be involved and engaged really throughout this year and election year with a presidential race I just looked over at my television to my right. Donald Trump was in Atlanta. Talk about Department of Justice and some of the challenges he's got that where they keep coming after him. You know, it is political theater, as we say. You know, Joe Biden has the leverage of owning the apparatus right now since he's in charge. So it's a challenge for even a former president to maybe get a fair shake. But I think in North Carolina, Trump's going to do pretty well, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. You know, looking back at his previous history here in North Carolina in 2020, he swept the state and won North Carolina. I'm very optimistic for this upcoming election cycle pertaining to Donald Trump.
Well, looking at some polling, recent polling, we were looking at a Carolina Journal article that says North Carolina voters favor Trump and Robinson in the general election. You know, polls are just snapshots in time. They don't mean much except for the day that they're day or a couple of days that they're taken. But in our presidential ballot in this poll that was commissioned by the Carolina Journal, it had definitely GOP Donald Trump 41.1%, probably GOP Donald Trump at 4.2%, compared to Joe Biden with a definitely dim. Joe Biden was at 33.2%. So that might explain why the president's political apparatus is putting 10 offices in the state. They just announced, I think, about a week ago. They're not putting them there because they think they've got a big lead. Quite the contrary.
Yeah, they're putting them here to put effort or try to gain effort and get support within North Carolina to make sure that they win the state, which hopefully they won't do. I think it will highly go to Donald Trump.
Well, we're talking to Youthen and Youthen Love, and he's a college student at Belmont Abbey, an activist, and we mean that in the best way possible, because you're active. That makes you an activist. You're active in politics. The college Republicans will have a real opportunity to play in this presidential race, because we know North Carolina is always going to be a battleground state. I got to drive once upon a time in a motorcade for Jack Kemp and Bob Dole. I got to meet Jack Kemp, who's one of my political heroes as well. And Bob Dole, spent time with him. Have done other things over the years with our presidential candidates. But being an active college student and involved and engaged in college Republicans, you guys kind of get the first call.
Yeah, definitely agree with you there. You know, their campaigns are always looking to get people involved, which I encourage it. I think it's a great way to learn the political system and connect with people, as we were talking about earlier.
Ethan, we got just it might be on my end. I don't know if I'm talking over you. I apologize, but you got a little delay there. You know, talking about that, I've got a picture of our son, the last presidential election. Of course, elected officials get invited to these things too. Although I think the college Republicans had better seats than I had. Looking at their access to the stage, our young son at the time just was blown away at how close he was to our presidential nominee, president at the time. You get that kind of access when you volunteer.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's why I would encourage it. You get this opportunity. You know, when Ron DeSantis was still in the race, I had the opportunity to go down to Winthrop University in South Carolina for a forum that he was at, and I had about 30 minutes in the room where it was just me and three other college Republicans. And that's where you really get to ask questions. You know, why do you think the way you think? What advice would you offer to me to be successful as you in the coming future? Are you looking for any staff? Is there any positions that I could apply for? So I highly encourage that. And that's the great thing about being a college Republican, is getting that kind of access to elected officials and, you know, elected officials to come.
Well, that is pretty neat. You know, whether he's a presidential nominee or not, he's the governor of Florida. And to have some individual time with a figure like that is pretty unique. A lot of folks don't get to do that. You know, and you know, I always tell my son, just be dumb enough to ask. As a college student, people ask me, like, well, how did you meet Newt Gingrich? How did you get in a room with George W. Bush? I'm like, well, I was just dumb enough to ask the question. How do I get in that room?
Because the worst thing they could say is no.
That's exactly right. It'll serve you well in life. You know, be dumb enough to ask, and I say dumb, but be calculating enough, I guess, to ask. But with the gubernatorial race as well, you've got the lieutenant governor coming. It's going to be a nail biter. They always are in North Carolina. People have asked me, you know, how does North Carolina elect a Republican presidential candidate, or, you know, vote for a presidential candidate, a Republican, and then turn right around and vote for a Democrat? It seems counterintuitive, but that's actually not that uncommon in North Carolina. So the challenge there for Mark Robinson is to you know, change that. We saw that with Dan Forrest last go around with Roy Cooper, and it didn't play out for Dan. Dan's a good friend, but folks voted for Trump. They didn't vote for, and then they voted for Roy Cooper. But it looks, at least, you know, again, in that snapshot of time, this poll we're talking about, the Carolina Journal, 43.8% Republican Mark Robinson. That's a combined definitely at 35.4, and then a probably at 8.4. That's a great place to start as a front runner there. For the Democrat, which is Josh Stein, and I know Josh very well. He's our attorney general. Always got along great with him. Politically, again, we're not on the same page, but as far as a person to person, we've gotten along very well and been able to work on issues together. But his definites are 32.6 and probables 6.4 for a combined total of 39%. So again, it's any given day. Oh, we should mention the Green Party, since we were talking about them. They come in at a whopping 0.6% for the Green Party, and then the Libertarian Mike Ross has 1.8%. So, and then there's a big undecided, 14.8%. And, you know, I think if there's anything accurate about that poll, for sure, that undecided will go down to the wire. And that's where college Republicans can make a big difference.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was fixing to go next is, you know, this is where we need college Republicans and even young Republicans. We need them on the ground. We need them door knocking, phone banking, engaging, you know, getting college students to vote. Register to vote in the state that you're going to college in if you choose to live here after graduation, or if you're looking to live here after graduation. Go ahead and register to vote now and encourage your friends to vote with, you know, candidates that align with your views, but also encourage them just to educate themselves whichever way they do choose to vote.
Well, absolutely. And I'll say, parents, making sure that your kids get involved, kids, anybody younger than me's kids, kids get involved in these campaigns. It's an awesome opportunity. I used to think I hated door knocking. I used to think I hated phone banking. I didn't know it at the time, but I was learning skills that have served me very well in my personal life and my job, in, you know, making sure that, you know, I'm not scared to pick up the phone and give someone a call. I'm not scared to go knock on a door that hasn't been knocked on. And what I learned is you meet a lot of interesting people along the way. You get a lot of interesting phone calls, some more than others. You do get to deal with everybody in the populace, but it gives you a skill set that you can use the rest of your life, no matter what you do. You know, being able to interact and to talk to people about politics, but about a lot of other things, how you connect with people, I think is a great skill set. So you've been able to do some of that. So any stories from the front lines of knocking on doors or phone calls, any weird interactions? I've got a few that I can share. I don't know if I should share on the radio, but you do meet interesting people for sure.
Yeah, you know, like you said, it's a great set of skills. It also is a confidence booster, especially for me personally. That's been my experience. Definitely met some crazy people over the years, some stories, as well as what you just said. I don't know if I should probably say them here, but I've definitely had my share of meeting talented individuals, to say the least.
Well, we were up in far reaches of Cleveland County one time. We were working for Robert Hayes. And I'll just say it had the all the makings of the movie Deliverance, and that's not a knock on Cleveland County, a great place, but one of the places we were at was far deep into the crevices of the backwoods there, and we got out alive, thankfully, but we did meet an interesting fellow that day, and it actually ended up being a good experience, but it was one for the books. And actually, my good friend Frank Williams, he writes these books, and he uses the story that I've told him as part of his book. It's fiction, but it's quite funny. You know, you never know who you might meet. You never know what you might do. Youth and Love, it has been great to have you on the show today. It goes by so fast. I want to wish you luck in your race on Saturday for the College Republican Chairmanship. Wish everyone luck that'll be there on Saturday. You're giving your Saturday up in the spring to go meet at the party headquarters. Really do appreciate you doing that.
Thank you, Jason. It's been a pleasure to come on this morning and speak with you.
Well, we'd love to have you on again. Thanks for listening to All Things Sane.